the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
I do trust that the Lord is going to use his word. As we look at, once again, John chapter 15, and if you are able, please stand as we read the Word of God together. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser, the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I want to focus this morning on this thought, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we come before in this place, in this hour, Lord, to hear from you. And Father, we pray that you would just bless this time. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would give me the strength and the words, Lord, to preach. Lord, not for my benefit, but Lord, for the edification of your children. I pray, Lord, that the people, myself included, would apply these truths to our hearts. And after the application, that we would leave here differently than the way we came in. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, last week we looked at what I would call the introductory sermon on this powerful passage of Scripture, John chapter 15. It's a metaphor. It is a word picture. And we saw last week the symbolism that is so evident in this particular passage of Scripture. We saw how the true vine is none other than Jesus Christ. Christ said, I am the true vine. And then we saw that the vine dresser or the gardener is God the Father. And we also saw that the branches are the believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then the fruit is the product that we have and demonstrate of Christ's likeness. Now, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, you and I may have a hard time seeing the benefit of such a metaphor. We have a difficult time of understanding this word picture, but not for these men to whom Jesus is speaking to. His disciples understood the metaphor just as plain as we understand the English language. You see, vineyards in that day were a common sight. They were a common thing to see in Palestine. They were very familiar with this word picture. And so when Jesus says that I am the vine and my Father is the gardener, the vine dresser, they knew what he was saying. They were very familiar with this. As a matter of fact, the vine, the grapevine, was their national symbol. It was Israel's national symbol. It was their bald eagle. It was their stars and stripes, you could say. It was even printed on their coins during the Maccabean revolt, the time just before Christ. But why did Jesus tell them this metaphor at this particular time? Well, he told them this, first of all, because he loved them. He loved them. John 13 and verse 1 tells us that Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them. And because of his great love and his omniscience, he knew them. He knew their hearts. Jesus knew he was speaking to worried, desperately anxious men. Men who were frightened, men who were discouraged. Why were they so discouraged? Why were they frightened? Because their Lord and Master is getting ready to leave them. Jesus has told them that he's going away, and where he's going, they cannot come. The cross of Jesus Christ is just a few hours away. John chapter 13, that all the way through John 17, those chapters, though they're many, all those takes place in just one night. John dedicates a lot of chapters to the last hours of Jesus Christ, much more than the other synoptic gospels do. And he does this so we have this great detail of those last moments, that private setting that Jesus has as he invests in his disciples. The cross is just a few hours away. But here's Jesus. He is ministering to these sorrow-filled men. And these men are no doubt thinking to themselves, what is going to happen to us now? We're going to be stranded. We're going to be like orphans. But our Lord, out of his great love for them, he comforts them. He assures them. He, even in the midst of the nearness of his own suffering, as Jesus is getting ready to enter into his greatest trial, as he is going to be rejected by men and ultimately dying on a cross in much pain and agony. Hey, listen, if you have ever doubted Christ's love for his own, then you have never spent time reading how he demonstrated his love for them over and over again. Listen, on a personal basis, on a personal level. Listen, there may be some here today who are personally dealing with anxiety. You are dealing with depression. Maybe you're dealing with fear and sorrow, or maybe bereavement. Oh, friend, we see here in the pages of our blessed Bible the assurance that Jesus cares for his very own personally. Personally. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only cares for our eternal state, our hereafter. Oh, listen, he cares about our present state, our here and now. Frank Grief, in the last century, wrote, in the early part of the last century, wrote a hymn entitled, Does Jesus Care? And in each of the stanzas, he really asks questions. And then in the chorus, he answers the question. The first stanza goes like this. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for laughter or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. The chorus says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. All we see here in this passage this morning, the great care that he has for his own. Not only on an eternal state, but as I said, on a personal level, an intimate level. He loves his own. He's a personal Savior. He knows his sheep. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd knows his sheep personally. You say, Brother Wade, how does Jesus stating that he is the true vine comforting to these men? How is this an assurance to them or a reassurance to them? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because listen, you have to remember, we talked about this last Sunday. You have to remember Israel is constantly, over and over again, referred to as the vine. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll find places such as in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 9, Psalm 80, and many, many other places where Israel many times is referred to as the vine. But it's a vine that the Old Testament tells us that Israel is a vine that has not produced the fruit that God called them, called her to produce. And so Israel is a spoiled vine. They have become a vine that has become wild. And so when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he is saying to them, I am true Israel. I'm going to bring forth the fruit that the old covenant people of God never brought forth. Jesus is saying that I am the fulfillment of what the nation of Israel failed to do. And what Israel failed to do, I came to do. And you see, the disciples were thinking, Israel, the nation of Israel, their leaders are against us. They have cast us out. But in Jesus saying that I am the true vine, Jesus is saying, oh, listen, no. No, God has set them aside. I am the true vine. Oh, listen, how reassuring this was to them to know that even though the majority of the people that made up the nation of Israel, those who rejected Jesus and his followers, Israel is a false vine that rebelled against God. They rejected God the Son, Jesus Christ, and they resisted God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me, I would not want to be a part of that vine. A vine that resisted the love of their vine dresser, God the Father. But also a vine that had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I would not want to be a part of that vine. So this was comforting to them. And by the way, thinking about that, beloved, why would you Why would you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, want to be accepted by a world system that has rejected the Lord? Why would you want to do that? Well, listen, let's notice this first thing as we look at chapter 15 and these passages of Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is the necessity of our abiding. The necessity of our abiding. In verse 4, we see Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." And then he says in verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." When we understand what Jesus is saying here, we will begin to see how and why this metaphor was used as a means of comfort and assurance to these men. The question that comes to mind is this: how does a branch abide in a vine? How does a branch abide in a vine? Jesus says, "Abide in me," in verse 4. And then in verse 5, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." And we hear this thing of abiding as we are to do this, we are to abide, and we hear that over and over again. And when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we do see references to that of prayer. We do see references to that of the Word of God and obeying the commands of God. And we just kind of pull those out and say, well, if you are to abide in Christ, then you need to keep His commandments. If you are to abide in Christ, you need to pray, and you've got to let the Word of God in you. But beloved, listen to me. I don't believe that that is what He is saying. Now listen, those things that I just mentioned, prayer, the Word of God, and being obedient, those things are products of our abiding more than anything else. And so when we look at this, it's very interesting that Christ does not tell us in so many words how to abide in the vine. He doesn't say, okay, if you want to abide in me, here's what you need to do. You need to do this, 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 or this. He doesn't do that. So how are we supposed to abide in Christ? Well, I ask you again, how does a branch abide in a vine? Friend, listen to me this morning. A branch does not do anything to become a branch. Have you ever thought about that? A branch does not do anything to become a branch. You've never walked out into the woods and have seen these little twigs wandering around looking for a vine to attach themselves to. You've never seen that. And you've never witnessed a branch that was connected to a vine or a tree struggling and straining to try to hold on. A branch does not grow into the tree. The branch grows out of the vine. It is totally and completely a work of the vine itself. And so listen to me. Our abiding in Christ, it is not an activity that we do, but a reality that we recognize and live in. Listen, we are creations of the vine, growing out of the vine in total dependence upon the vine with one sole purpose: to be what we are to be and to do what branches are to do, and that is bear fruit. That's it. To abide in the vine is to recognize this supernatural work of God that has been done in you. Living in the reality that you have become united with Christ. And so our abiding is not us doing something. Rather, it is recognizing what God has done in us and then living in that reality. God has made you a part of His Son, the true vine. And so do you see why this was such an encouragement to these disciples? Why this was such a comfort to them that out of the millions of people of the nation of Israel that had rejected Jesus, these men, these disciples had the assurance from the vine Himself that they were united in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 talks about that Jesus says to them, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." Their nourishment was the divine sap of God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen to me this morning. What a blessing to know that our abiding, our being attached to the vine, is not something that we must do. Now, why is it important for us to understand this? Listen, if it was, we would never have the assurance that we have done enough to stay attached. We would all be wondering if it was up to us and up to our activity. Well, did we do enough to stay attached to the vine? Did we do it just right? But no, listen, a branch gets its life from the vine. A branch gets its fruit from the vine. Listen, we do not abide in Christ because we bear fruit. We bear fruit because we abide in Christ. So things such as prayer, things such as being obedient to the commands of God, things such as of loving the Lord, all those things are indicators that we are attached to the vine. They are not the cause of our abiding, rather they are the result of our abiding. So that's what I'm trying to say here this morning, that there's the necessity of our abiding in Christ. It's not so much the activity that we do, rather it is a result of our abiding that produces the activity. We're not saved by works, are we? We're not saved by works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us that. However, though, it tells us also in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were ordained to produce good works, and that happens after salvation. You say, "Brother Wade, how do you know that I am attached? How does one know that one is attached to the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ?" Well, that brings us to our second thought, the evidence of our abiding. The evidence of our abiding. Verse 2 tells us, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." So what are some evidences? What are some proofs that we are abiding in Christ? Well, listen, there are several. We see some that are mentioned here. The Bible talks about here in this passage that you're going to have a desire to pray to the Lord. Verse 7 talks about that. You're going to have a desire to fellowship with the Lord in prayer. And we know that prayer is declaring to the Lord that we need Him. We need Him. And when we do not pray, then we are really being prideful, saying, "Lord, we can do this. I can do this on my own. I do not need You." And so one of the ways that we know that we are abiding in the vine is that we have a desire to communicate and to fellowship through prayer. Another indicator is that you're going to have a desire to obey His word, to obey the Lord's commands. That is going to be the lifestyle of a believer. It's not that you're going to be perfect at it, but rather the lifestyle that you're going to have is one that is going to want to please the Lord, one that is going to want to please the Heavenly Father. So those are proofs, those are indicators that we are abiding in the vine. Another one is, and we see this in the passage of Scripture, is that you are going to have a love for Christ. A love for Christ. The true vine. Why? Because it is out of the vine that we have our spiritual life. He is essential. He is indispensable. We cannot have any spiritual life without Christ. We cannot have any spiritual grace without Christ. We cannot have any spiritual fruit without Christ. He is essential. And because of His this, we have a great love for Him. A great love. We're going to love Jesus. And we're going to love the things that Jesus loves. He loves the church. He loved the church so much that He gave His life for the church. You're going to love Jesus. You're going to love the things that Jesus loves. You're going to hate the things that Jesus hates, and that is sin. You're going to love one another, He talks about in this chapter. That's a great indicator that you have passed from death into life, is that you have love for one another. You love the church. You love God's people. There's something about God's people. There's a special bond that you have. And it's a bond of love that you are united in Christ, the true vine, together. Another indicator is that you're going to feel upon your soul this thing of pruning. And this thing of the Lord working on your heart and your life. Do you ever feel upon your soul the work of our vine dresser, our Heavenly Father, upon you? Do you feel His hand upon you as He lifts you up by His grace? When in those certain times in your life there is no fruit. And we see that again in verse 2 where it talks about every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Or as I explained to you last week, that Greek word takes away there many other times in Scripture is translated lifts up. And so here is an example of a person who is down and discouraged. And they're so down and discouraged that they're not producing any fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not producing any fruit for the vine dresser, the Heavenly Father. And He comes by lovingly and graciously. He comes by and lifts them up in order that they may bear fruit. It is the will of our heavenly vine dresser that we would bear fruit. Again, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And listen to me, our vine dresser, the God the Father, He will do what He must do to get us to that point to where we bear fruit. And then we think about the pruning of those who is producing fruit, but yet He longs for us to produce more fruit. Have you ever felt the vine dresser's knife as He prunes us in order that we might bear more fruit? Hey, if you have, that's a great indicator that you are attached and abiding in the vine. When our Heavenly Father, He knows of those things in our lives that needs to be removed in order that we may produce more fruit for His glory. Do you know what the vine dresser uses to prune us? Do you know what He uses, the knife that He uses to prune us in order that we may bear more fruit for His glory? Some may say, well, it's the afflictions of life. It must be the trials of life that those things come along, and those things are like a knife, and it creates us to bear more fruit. But that's not the case. The knife that the vine dresser uses is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, yes, He will use afflictions in our life. He'll use trials in our life to maybe soften our heart in order that we may receive the Word with meekness. But friend, it is the Word of God that He uses to cut us. And in that cutting and in that pruning, as painful as it sometimes is, He is creating more fruit, better fruit for His glory. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us, for the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is the Word of God that prunes us. It is His knife that He uses that we may bear more fruit for His glory. Oh, listen to me this morning. Do you see the necessity of abiding in Christ? Does your life bear the evidence of someone who is abiding in the vine? Does your life bear the fruit of the one who is attached to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ? And I ask you, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ? I didn't ask you, are you in religion? There are a lot of people. The majority of Americans are in religion. And they think that's good enough. Are you in Christ? I didn't ask you, are you in the church? I'm not asking you, are you in the church as far as a member is concerned. I'm asking you, my dear friend, are you in Christ? And if you are, you're going to have some evidences that you are attached to the vine. And if you are not, I pray that today you would come to Christ. You would repent of your sin and trust Him by faith. Turn away from your sin and turn to Christ. Embrace Him, for He is our only Savior. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that You would take this simple message and apply it to our heart and lives. That, Lord, that we would see the necessity of our abiding, that without it, there is no life. I pray, Lord, that those of us who have been saved, those of us who have been born again, Lord, that we would look at this and we would rejoice that we are part of the true vine. In a world where there's many false vines, in a world where there's many unfruitful vines, corrupt vines, Lord, it is only by Your grace that we are part of the true vine, Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that we would recognize this, that we would live in that reality, and that, Lord, that we would bear the evidences of that abiding, bearing out and producing Christ likeness for your glory. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption.